service. We welcome everyone tonight and everyone that is online. Certainly a joy to be able to come together for a time of prayer and for a time of looking and reflecting from the Word of God. Turn with me in their Bibles to the book of Ezekiel. The book of Ezekiel in the 11th chapter. Last week we began looking at the second point that we have in this chapter. And that's covering verses 4 through 13, which we read last week. Last week we dealt with verse 5. We said, "And the Spirit of the Lord fell upon me and said unto me, Speak, thus saith the Lord, thus have ye said, O house of Israel, for I know the things that come into your mind, every one of them." These were words that were to be spoken primarily to those 25 wicked, evil princes, and especially to Peltai and Jazniah. In other words, we said last week, God knows every evil intent, every evil purpose. He knows every thought.
Amen.
That enters our mind. And we looked at that last week. The omniscient one. The God of heaven and earth. The God of all creation knows. He knows. There's nothing that is hid from Him. Nothing. He now knows every evil purpose that we imagine in our hearts and in our minds. Just as He told Ezekiel to prophesy to these princes, that He knows what they've said. He knows what they've done. He knows what they've thought. And He's got news for them. He's got news for them. So tonight we go on and we begin looking at verse 6. And as we look at verse 6, I want you to consider the disastrous consequences of their evil purposes. The disastrous consequences of their evil intents and purposes. Read with me verse 6. "Ye have multiplied your slain in this city, and ye have filled the streets thereof with the slain." The Lord said in verse 5, He says, I know every one of your purposes. I know every one of your thoughts. I have seen every one that you have filled the streets of this city with their blood. Bloodshed and murder were violently predominant in Jerusalem, in Judah, had been in Israel. These were chiefly the crimes that brought the judgment of God upon the city and the land. And as we think about this tonight and consider this tonight, I want us to think about and consider our land tonight.
Yes, amen.
The streets of America are full of innocent blood.
Amen.
The citizens of the United States of America are not guiltless. They're guilty.
Yes, amen.
And are not we guilty for allowing it?
Amen.
To go on and to continue and not being more of a voice against it? As we look at the primary thoughts tonight, let us consider that. Let us remember it. And let us take it to the polls with us this coming election.
Amen.
As speaking here concerning these, he had said, said to Ezekiel in the 8th chapter, in verse 17, "And then he said unto me, Hast thou seen this, O son of man? Is it a light thing to the house of Judah that they commit the abominations which they commit here? Is it a light thing, the abominations that these people, these inhabitants of Jerusalem and Judah had committed, is it a light thing? Is it a light thing that the inhabitants of the United States of America tonight commit? Is it a light thing? For they have filled the land with violence. With violence." And let me tell you, I don't have to tell you much. You know how violent, much more violence the streets have gotten in just the last couple of months here in the streets of America, the cities of America. And one leads to another. The one began in the early 70s and has continued basically unchallenged until this present day. And is it any wonder that we're where we're at today? Is it any wonder that the people in Ezekiel's day were, that Ezekiel was hearing these words from the Lord to prophesy unto these princes to where they had come to? They have filled the land with violence, the Lord says. It's an abomination, he says. And have returned to provoke me to anger. And lo, they put the branch to their nose and they snuff at it. And I don't have to tell you that Americans tonight are snuffing at the violence that fills our land. And they're snuffing their nose at God.
Amen.
Chapter 9. In verse 9. "Then said he unto me, The iniquity of the house of Israel and Judah is exceeding great, and the land is full of blood. There is the edict. If you didn't understand the word violence, here it is. The land is full of blood. They are guilty of shedding innocent blood. And the city full of perverseness, for they say, the Lord hath forsaken the earth, and the Lord seeth not. That is, they snuffed their nose at him. I didn't write these down, but turn with me. I think I can find them all right. Turn with me to 2 Kings. Well, actually, I did too write them down. I just want to say something more before I turn there. Go ahead and turn to 2 Kings. That'll be the next passage we'll look at. The land is full of blood.
Yes.
They're guilty of shedding innocent blood. They had killed many of the prophets of the Lord. They were guilty of that. The Lord charged them with that, and we've read that many times in the book of 2 Chronicles, in the last chapter, chapter 36, along about verses 10, 11, 12, somewhere in there. He sent them his prophets early and many times. And at first they ridiculed, they scoffed them, and then they put them to death, even. So they had killed the prophets of the Lord, and they had shed much innocent blood. Their blood was innocent. They had unjustly condemned many to die and put them to death without cause. And let's just look at some. Just one instance, and there are many instances as you go through the Kings, especially in the period of the kings from Solomon on. There's many instances in their idol worship. 2 Kings in chapter 21. And this is concerning Manasseh. Now Manasseh was the son of a good king, a good king of Judah. He was the son of Hezekiah. Hezekiah was a God-fearing king, and he loved the Lord, and he tore down high places, and he opened up the doors of the temple. Restored worship to the land. We know him as the king. The Lord added 15 years to his life. And that's, in a manner of speaking, as we know it as men. We get sick. We get a death sentence. Doctor says you've got weeks to live. We understand that. That's a death sentence. And we fall on our knees and we cry to the Lord. We pray to the Lord. And the Lord extends our life by 15 years. Well, that was all in the plan and purpose of God before the foundation of the world, as it was with Hezekiah. Hezekiah recovered from his sickness. Hezekiah was lifted up with pride because he had much wealth. And And the people, I don't know if they were spies. The Bible doesn't say they were spies. It was some men who came from Babylon. Came from Babylon. To see Hezekiah and to see his great wealth. And he showed them everything. Took them into the house of the Lord, showed them everything. Took them into his palace, showed them everything. And the prophet of the Lord comes to Hezekiah. Hezekiah, what did you show these men? Oh, I showed them everything. I didn't withhold a thing. Of all my might and all my wealth, I not one thing did I hold back from. The Lord told his prophet, that not in the days of Hezekiah, but in the days of his seed, in the days of his son, would not have the blessings of God upon him. And his son, that obviously by way of point, was born in that period of time that his life was extended, Manasseh was a very evil, very wicked king. He did great idolatry. He was 12 years old when he came to the throne. And he reigned for 55 years. Notice what the Lord charged him with. Moreover, Manasseh shed innocent blood very much till he had filled Jerusalem from one end to another beside his sin wherewith he made Judah to sin in doing that which was evil in the sight of the Lord. Not only did Manasseh do it, but he was an influence to Judah to evil, and Judah followed right along in his footsteps in doing evil. It shed innocent blood. Think if we go back just a little here. Well, actually, I want to go to 2 Chronicles. I want to go to 2 Chronicles because I think 2 Chronicles gives us a little better recording here of this sin of innocent blood. And this is concerning Manasseh in chapter 33 of 2 Chronicles, in verse 4. And he built altars in the house of the Lord. Notice where he built them. In the house of the Lord, whereof the Lord had said, in Jerusalem shall my name be forever. And he built altars for all the host of heaven in the two courts of the house of the Lord. And he caused his children, his seed, to pass through the fire in the valley of the son of Hinnom. Also he observed times, and used enchantments, and used witchcraft, and dealt with a familiar spirit, and with wizards. He wrought much evil in the sight of the Lord to provoke him to anger. The innocent blood which he shed was offering up his seed, his children, unto all these gods of heaven, which he made altars to in the house of the Lord. Now, in case you're thinking, well, America doesn't do that tonight. Doesn't do that. We don't. What are we offering our children up to? What are we offering our unborn children up to? The God of self. The God of self. We're shedding innocent blood.
Amen.
Our streets are full of it. It's been going on for 40 some years, nigh unto, well, in a couple, 3 years, it'll be 50 years. Yeah. Turn with me. Psalms 106. Psalms 106. This psalm is kind of what shall we say? A quizzical psalm? A precarious psalm? It begins with a praise. And it ends the chapter up with a praise, with a blessing. Praising the Lord. Hallelujah unto the Lord. But in between the first and the last verses is described the sins from the beginning to the time of its writing, the sins of the children of Israel. Right? You might say till Ezekiel's day. Psalms 106. Look with me here at just a few of the verses, beginning with 34, verse 34. And this will resonate with us because we've just recently in Sunday school studied the Judges, the period of the Judges. So this verse at least will resonate with us. He said, "They did not destroy the nations concerning whom the Lord commanded them, but were mingled among the heathen and learned their works." They learned their works. They learned their doings. They learned about their gods. They learned how to sacrifice unto their gods and do the very things that they were doing. And they served their idols which were a snare unto them. Yea, they sacrificed their sons and their daughters unto devils. And shed innocent blood, even the blood of their sons and of their daughters, whom they sacrificed unto the idols of Canaan, and the land was polluted with blood. Listen, that is the word of the Lord. That is what the Lord had told them would be. They shed innocent blood, and they let it go on, and they would pollute the land. And the land of America is polluted tonight. because innocent blood has been shed. The streets are full of shed innocent blood. And our land is polluted tonight.
Amen.
We need to cry out for mercy from the Lord. In addition, those who would be killed by the famine, by the pestilence, and by the sword at the hands of the Chaldeans. These 25 princes in Ezekiel were charged with their blood. When judgment comes, the leaders who are promoting it, promoting that evil and the wicked intents, they're charged with it.
Amen.
And so, their deaths were a consequence of the mischief and the evil counsels. Consider the pain and suffering that comes about from the evil counsels of incompetent, unprincipled, wicked leaders. Consider the consequences that come about. We've read about Manasseh being a leader in this. Judah followed right along in it. Manasseh is charged with making Judah to do it. That is, he led him into it. Turn with me to the book of Proverbs, in chapter 29. And if you still got your finger in 2 Chronicles 33, go keep it there. Keep your finger there, because we're going to be going back there. But Proverbs chapter 29. And look with me here at verse 16. When the wicked are multiplied, transgressions increaseth. Yeah, you might get by with one wicked, two wicked, but as they're increased, those it's just multiplies.
Yeah.
Look how it's multiplied in our land today. Look how it multiplied in the days of Israel. We might say it goes back to Solomon. And there's many good things to say about Solomon. And as long as he sought the Lord, there was a lot of good things to say about Solomon. But he just had too many wives. Too many wives of the nations that they were commanded not to have wives of too. And we're told that his wives, when he was old, his wives turned his heart from following the Lord. And he began to worship their idols. And to serve their idols. It began with Solomon, we might say. And God rent the kingdom from Solomon. And the 10 northern tribes went with Jeroboam, a wicked man. 10 northern tribes went with a wicked man, Jeroboam, because of the sin of Solomon. And Israel, the 10 northern tribes, never had a good king after that, after Solomon. And Judah struggled. Rehoboam, Solomon's son, that demon, he didn't do very well. Second Chronicles again. In 33. And I said all that to say this. Manasseh sold wickedness. Manasseh sold evil. God punished him. He was even taken by the Assyrians, taken captive to Babylon for a time. And there, we're told in, well, let's begin reading verse 10 of the 33rd chapter. It said, "And the Lord spake to Manasseh and to his people, but they would not hearken. Wherefore the Lord brought upon them the captains of the host of the king of Assyria, which took Manasseh among the thorns and bound him with fetters and carried him to Babylon. And when he was in affliction, he besought the Lord his God and humbled himself greatly before the God of his fathers." He sought the Lord. He was humbled. "And prayed unto him, and he was entreated of him, and heard his supplication, and brought him again to Jerusalem into his kingdom. Then Manasseh knew that the Lord, he was God." Sounds like to me like Manasseh turned from his wickedness. Let's see. Now, after this, he built a wall without the city of David and went on the west side of Gihon in the valley, even to the entering in at the fish gate, and compassed about Ophel, and raised it up a very great height, and put captains of war in all the fenced cities of Judah. And he took away the strange gods and the idol out of the house of the Lord, and all the altars that he had built in the mount of the house of the Lord and in Jerusalem, and cast them out of the city. And he repaired the altar of the Lord and sacrificed thereon peace offerings and thanks offerings, and commanded Judah to serve the Lord God of Israel. Nevertheless, the people did sacrifice still in the high places, yet unto the Lord their God only." They did. It wasn't in the place God commanded them to. It wasn't in the house of the Lord, but it was in the high places. They sacrificed to the Lord, not to idols, not to other gods. Now, Manasseh turned the last few years of his reign. Now, the rest of the acts of Manasseh and his prayer unto his God, and the words of the seers that spake to him in the name of the Lord God of Israel, behold, they are written in the book of the kings of Israel. His prayer also, and how God was entreated of him, and all his sins, his trespass, and the places wherein he built high places and set up groves and graven images before he was humbled. Behold, they are written among the sayings of the seers. So Manasseh slept with his fathers, and they buried him in his own house. And Amon, his son, reigned in his stead. Because Amon saw that his father had turned and humbled himself, Amon was going to be a good king, right? Amon was 22 years old when he began to reign, and reigned 2 years in Jerusalem. Only 2 years. That tells you, that you can mark it down. That pretty well tells you what kind of king he was. Only 2 years. But he did that which was evil in the sight of the Lord, as did Manasseh his father. He learned from his father. Yeah. He learned the evil and the wickedness that his father had sown. For Ammon sacrificed unto all the carved images which Manasseh his father had made, and served them. Listen, if he sacrificed unto them, all them that his father had made, what was he doing? He was offering his sons and his daughters, he was offering his children. Just like he had seen his father do. And humbled not himself before the Lord as Manasseh his father. See, Manasseh humbled himself before God. In his latter days, in the latter part of his reign. So the last part of his reign, we could say, was a pretty good one. But Ammon did not. You see, he learned well the wicked ways of his father. And his servants conspired against him and slew him in his own house. But the people of the land slew all of them that had conspired against king of Ammon, and the people of the land made Josiah his son king in his stead. Now, something about Josiah. Josiah was a good king. You say, well, how could Josiah be a good king with a wicked grandfather and a wicked father? Because I think Josiah was a young lad when his grandfather humbled himself before the Lord. The Lord set him back on the throne in Jerusalem, brought him from Babylon back to Jerusalem, set him back on the throne. And Josiah, as a young lad, witnessed that. And he served the Lord all the days of his life. His ways were pleasing to the Lord. Turn with me to the book of Isaiah. Book of Isaiah in chapter 59. Just to show you how that evil and wickedness is multiplied and is increased. Verse 2. But your iniquities have separated between you and your God, and your sins have hid his face from you that he will not hear. For your hands are defiled with blood, and your fingers with iniquity. Your lips have spoken lies. Your tongue hath muttered perverseness. None calleth for justice, nor any pleadeth for truth. They trust in vanity and speak lies. They conceive mischief and bring forth iniquity. They hatch cockatrice eggs and weave the spider's web. He that eateth of their eggs dieth, and that which is crushed breaketh out into a viper. Their webs shall not become garments, neither shall they cover themselves with their works. Their works are works of iniquity, and the act of violence is in their hands. Their feet run to evil, and they make haste to shed innocent blood. They make haste to shed innocent blood. Their thoughts are thoughts of iniquity. What's the Lord knows, by the way. Wasting and destruction are in their paths. The way of peace they know not. And there is no judgment in their goings. They have made them crooked paths. Whosoever goeth therein shall not know peace. Therefore is judgment far from us, neither doth justice overtake us. We wait for light, but behold, obscurity. For brightness, but we walk in darkness. We grope for the wall like the blind. We grope as if we had no eyes. We stumble at noonday as in the night. We are in desolate places as dead men. We roar all like bears and mourn sore like doves. We look for judgment, but there is none, for salvation, but it is far off from us. For our transgressions are multiplied before thee, and our sins testify against us. For our transgressions are with us, and as for our iniquities, we know them. Wow. Evil prevails. Iniquities are multiplied. Angers the Lord. Jeremiah chapter 5. Jeremiah chapter 5. One more verse and we'll close with this. In verse 6, the word of the Lord says, wherefore a lion out of the forest shall slay them, and a wolf in the evening shall spoil them. A leopard shall watch over their cities. Everyone that goeth out thence shall be torn in pieces, because their transgressions are many, and their backslidings are increased. That was the word of the Lord concerning Judah and Israel. At the mouth of Jeremiah, at the mouth of Ezekiel, in the book of Ezekiel, our studies tonight. What's the word of the Lord concerning the United States of America? I just read it to you.
Amen.
I just read it to you. Our dear Heavenly